Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We want to thank the Lord for you being here with us today. This is Pastor Landis Fisher of Straight Gate Ministries and also St. Timothy Christian Church. Amen. We're back virtual now for a season, so I welcome you back into my private studio. And I hope you're ready to dig in and study the Word with us. Amen. Amen. So we're going to get right in as we normally do, as it is our custom, and have a word of prayer. And I'd like to invite you to pray for others. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for me, of course. I always need prayer. I got a lot of news, some few things to update you on. But by and large, we want you to remember to pray for the lost. Amen. And because they need prayer. It's by prayer that God reaches out to do everything that we do here on earth. Amen. So your prayers are important and they are powerful. Amen. So I want you to know that. Don't ever let the devil or the flesh or the world make you think that prayer is not important. Amen. So we need to pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Amen. That's my motto. And I'm trying to do that more because it's easy to slip into the flesh and find yourself worried about stuff. And I always like to ask, who does worry go to? And I don't know who worry goes to. It goes to my flesh, goes to the devil, maybe he gets on us about that. But who does prayer go to? Prayer goes to the Almighty, the Most High God. And if you invoke God into your life, then he can do something about the situation. And he said, if you cast all your care upon me, because I care for you, Jesus said, come to me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden. In other words, you got a load on you, an emotional load, a spiritual load, a financial load, whatever your burden is. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. In other words, you got a big weight laid on you is what that means. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Peter said, cast all your care upon him. That's like, take it off of you, cast it up on the Lord. Amen. So that's how we get rid of it. Get rid of the load by giving it to God. And he says, I can handle it. Amen. So I want to invite you to pray with me right now. Eternal God, our Father, we bless your name. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for another day's journey. Father, I want to just give you the glory, the honor, and above all the praise, Lord, because you alone are worthy to be praised. And Father, we come asking you to forgive us for sins and transgressions. Things that we have in our lives that you have identified by your word that shouldn't be there, Father God. And some of them we know about, some we don't. But we cast the whole load, that whole burden, that heavy burden of sin up to you right now, Lord God. And we ask you to cleanse us and forgive us. You said if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Father, we cast that load over to you right now. Father, we come bringing those who are sick, some who are afflicted, people are concerned and worried. There's a lot of turmoil in the land, but you know all about it. And so, Father, we just want to unload that burden so that we can be, as you said, swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. Help us today, Lord. We need your help, Lord God. You healed some people we asked you to heal already, and we got praise reports that came in from Hawaii, from Dennis, and for Ebony and all kinds of people we've been praying for, and you've lifted them up off a bed of affliction. For Nikki, all kinds of folks, we ask you to lift that burden and that weight up off of them. And so, Father, we have seen you working. We've seen you give people jobs. You gave Antoine a job, Lord God, and you're working on a job for Donovan, Lord, and other people that we prayed, and we've taken those loads and sent them over to you. And, Father, many others who have written in. Father, I want to thank you for the young men that I preached and taught a class to over in the jail, in the county jail on yesterday. Bless their homes, their families. Give them that peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, we just want to thank you for everything you have done. You have blessed some of our mothers and some of the brothers at the church with various things, Lord, and we just want to thank you for all that you already have done. The scripture says that in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will rule our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, Father, give us your peace in place of our anxiety. Help somebody that's concerned about having a partner that they've been praying for someone to be their soulmate. And, Father, you know the answer to that situation. So we ask you to just take that over right now, Lord, and let it be so, should it be your holy will. And Father, we just ask you to bless our Bible study this evening, help our minds to mature in the Spirit, Lord God. Help us to cast away all of our cares upon you, Father, and then help us to be diligent to pursue those things that you have taught us in your word. And so, Father, we just give you praise right now. We give you glory. You have blessed people and healed some others, Lord God. You healed some people from COVID, and you've been just doing some mighty things, Lord God. And you protected us all through this whole pandemic situation. And so, Father, we want to say thank you for all of that. And, Father, we ask you to keep on doing what you're doing, Father, because we can't do anything without you. Teach us to lean on you, depend on you, and to call upon you for everything. Father, we'll be very, very careful to give you all the praise and the glory. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that makes all this possible. Help somebody tonight understand that you allowed that blood of your own son to be shed in order that we might have a right to the tree of life, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Father, I ask for a special blessing for my son, Sean, right now, wherever he is. Father, touch his mind, his life, and his body. Keep him on that good track, that good road that you started him on, Lord God, that he might persevere in your spirit. So bless now, God, as we go forth into your word. Help us to get some understanding we have never had before. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the saints here together, amen. Go ahead and give God a hand of praise. Amen. So you know, if you were with us on Sunday, and for the sake of some of you who were not, we opened up a topic that I want to give you some more details about today. Amen. I think the topic is a great one because we were talking about the eternal objective voice of the Bible. The eternal objective voice of the Bible. Now, enough what I'm saying there. Let me just give you a quick nutshell of what we're speaking of there. The scriptures themselves, which is authored by God the Holy Spirit, it was given by divinely inspired people whom God inspired to write every word. He superintended this word that he gives you and me and to the whole world to study throughout all of time. It is a phenomenal word. There's nothing like the Bible anywhere to be found. And when you get into his word, you'll find out that it's a treasure of just knowledge and wisdom and comfort and everything that you and I need for time and eternity. Amen. It was dispensed in time, but the scripture proceeds out of eternity. And it's something that will endure, the Bible says, when the heavens and the earth have passed away. Amen. So this is a special thing that God has done. And the unique thing, we've been talking about the mysteries of the kingdom of God, is that God has given me and you, and not just us, but whoever believes the gospel, the good news that he has given his son, Jesus the Christ, who is the Son of the living God, he has given him so that you and I can trust in him and believe in him, believe that God allowed him to come into the world, be born into the world without sin, be crucified on the Roman cross according to the law and the prophets, that very objective voice of God's word prophesied every event and everything that would happen to Jesus the Christ in his lifetime and up to the point that he would be crucified and die for the sin of the world. He would become the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek, according to the scripture. In other words, he became the only mediator between God and men. The scripture is very specific about that. And the promise from God is that whosoever believes in him should not perish. In other words, you will not come under God's wrath and his judgment. If you believe the gospel, the good news that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his only begotten son, for that sole purpose that no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, if you will believe in him, you will not perish. In other words, God will save you from his judgment. And that is the good news, but you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That also God raised him up from the dead. And that's the proof right there. That's the really icing on the cake, if you will. That's the really, really big deal, is the fact that God loves you and he has given his son to bear all of your sin. And that's marvelous. That's why it's called gospel. It's good news. It's actually the best news that the world has ever heard. And God has made Jesus Christ the only standard by which human beings can be saved anywhere on the planet. And he is willing to save whosoever believes in him. No matter who you are, he will save you. If you trust in his son and believe that God has raised him from the dead. That is the proclamation of the gospel. So what I want you to see today is that God's word, his word is eternal. He spoke it from eternity. This was from an agreement that was made between God the Father and God the Son in eternity past. In other words, before anything existed. I was watching today, maybe you were too. Some of you may have been at work, I don't know. But I was looking at the little blast off thing they did with Captain Kirk today. And he came back and he was so astonished at what it felt like to go out of the atmosphere of Earth into the blackness of space and be there and be weightless for some amount of time and then to fall back into the atmosphere and all of that type of thing. He was just overblown by the difference. And he said, oh, they mean to tell me that blue that's covering the Earth? He was just laid out about the atmosphere around the Earth. Because planet Earth is the only thing like that with that type of an atmosphere. It provides a habitat or a biotope, if you will, for all the living things that are on it. And if you look at the vast blackness of space, he said it reminded him of death is what he thought. He couldn't really articulate it very well. But it's amazing when you get outside of this atmosphere that God has made and you see the vast, endless darkness of space. It's mind-boggling, and it really blew his mind. He was having a lot of trouble describing it. And I can only imagine what it would be like. But I would have to say this. I hope that he knows Christ, along with all the rest of these folks. I hope they know Jesus. Because you know what? They'll find out what the blackness and darkness in the midst of hell looks like if they do not know Jesus. And so God has made this world and fixed it so that you and I can live in it. And as the scripture says, he made the heavens and the earth and everything that in them is. And so he made it all and he fixed it up. And it's so beautiful when you see it from outside, which very few people get a perspective. We see it on NASA movies and NASA clips and things of that sort. But when you actually go out there, I would imagine this is a very, very astonishing thing. And to see the little space where God has prepared for people who are regular people like us to live and breathe. And think about it. God came out of an endless, vast eternity through his Son to be begotten of a virgin, as he had predicted in his eternal word, in order to give his life as a ransom for the sins of whoever within the world and his protection under the covering of earth, no matter who they are, every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people, in order to provide them all who believe with salvation. Amen. He divided the whole world into two families. We talk about that all the time. People have a lot of confusing teaching. And they'll say, oh, that's your truth, or this is that their truth, or this is that faith, or this faith, or the other faith. Jesus cut to the chase. He said, there's only two. Either you trust me and you believe me, or you don't. Whoever believes me will be saved. God divides you into the family of the saved. The rest, you have chosen to be lost. So we like to make that plain. That news is the gospel. But once you get into it and you accept the gospel and you've been sealed by God with the gift of his precious Holy Spirit, God adopts you into his family and you become a part of the body of Christ, which is the visible physical church. It's not the buildings, it's the people who believe Jesus and believe the gospel. And so you have a functional part in the body of Christ once you trust in him. And at that point, this is when we need, at what I've called for this lesson that we talked about on Sunday, the eternal objective voice of the Bible. Now, it's objective because God said it and it's been written down. The contents of this book were completed 2,000 years ago, and God said everything he needed to say to last until the heavens and earth won't be anymore. Because God said the heavens and the earth are destined for reconstruction. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, he says, wherein righteousness dwells forever and ever. So God will not have the problem of sin infect the new heaven and the new earth. And he has prepared his Son, Jesus the Christ, and given him to the world in order that we might be able to trust in him. Amen. And know for sure that we have tapped into it. Now, let me talk about some of the practical purposes of the Bible for me and you. This is what I really wanted to get into today with that little brief introduction. We looked at how this is the fifth message in our series. Now, some of you may have been with me on Sunday if you weren't. And even if you were, this will still help you get deeper into what the thought train was on this. Today, we shall learn how through the ages of mankind, God has given us his word as an objective voice. Now, what I mean by that is the word says things to me and you that are transient. They transcend normal human knowledge. Even though preachers preach the word, That's what they're required to do. Now, you got a lot of folks who don't necessarily always preach the word. The word is necessary. The scripture says, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Then it says this, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. So God has already predicted that people will become dull of hearing, so to speak. That's why you see a constant repeating phrase in the New Testament and the Old Testament, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. God is always calling on the hearers, those who are really listening to me, not so much to people in the world and what's going on. And there are a lot of voices competing for our attention. But God says, whoever listens to me, if you have ears to hear, in other words, you believe me, by faith you have accepted my word, and I'm able to speak to you in an objective voice. It's not the voice of the pastor, not the voice of the people around you. This is another voice coming in out of eternity to feed me and you with what we need in order to progress in this life. It'll reach you because you believe. If you don't believe, it may sound like foolishness to you. That's what he said, that the word of the truth is foolishness to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power and the wisdom of God. And so we need to understand, God makes that divide, and it's really up to you to some extent, the fact that he calls you to believe in Jesus Christ. If you do that, then God will equip you. He says, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. That's to people who do not believe. And so that's what we've been looking at, is that special knowledge that God has given me and you in order for us to be able to hear his word and receive from his objective voice. Now, what else makes the word objective? This is what I wanted to share with you today in the time we have left here. I want you to understand that sometimes preachers don't know. In fact, most of the time, preachers have no idea of everything that's going on in your life. But the fact is, God has given us a word. So if we preach his word will hit you. You'd be surprised how many times people come up to me as a minister in any setting. Doesn't make any difference if it's at church, if it's at a prison, if it's at the park, or anywhere I happen to be preaching. They will come up and say, oh man, that sermon you preached was directly for me. And they got hit somewhere in their spirit with a thing I was not intending necessarily, because I don't know. I don't know the person. God does. So God is able to speak objectively to me and you in ways that no one else knows. He's able to reach you at a point, the point of your need in your life, through his word. And his word is powerful. It has a powerful impact. It breaks strongholds in your life. It gives comfort in places where you would be fearful. It does some powerful things that not even psychiatrists and psychologists, they try to do it another way, or they may want to medicate you back right. But God says, I know how to meditate you back right. I can get your mind fixed on my word when you meditate in my law day and night, and I'll give you peace, he said. I can give you a peace that passes all understanding. The scripture says in Isaiah that those whose minds are stayed on him, he'll put you in perfect peace. So if you want that perfect peace, learn to receive from the law of the Lord. Learn to meditate in his word. Sit yourself under the word so you can hear the word, and God will minister to you directly. Just like we mentioned Sunday, and I have to repeat this in case you weren't here. The psalmist said, blessed are those who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. See, there's a lot of people giving a lot of advice that don't believe God. We get so much of it, and there's so many things today that you and I need a word from the Lord. We need a word from God on so many things today. And if we just concentrate on God's word, God says, I'm going to feed you. If you open your mouth, I'm going to fill it. I'm going to fill it with praise. I'm going to take away pressure and anxiety out of your life. I'm going to give you a peace that passes all understanding. I mean, this is not something you can get from the psychiatrist or anywhere else. You know, people always want to try to counsel you here and there. And I'm not saying don't go to a psychiatrist or don't go to a counselor. If you think you need one, go ahead. Hopefully you'll find one who believes Christ and trust in God. Then he'll trust the word too, and he may steer you better than some of the ones out here who don't. But the fact is, God says, my word that proceeds forth out of my mouth shall not come back to me void. It will accomplish the purpose whereunto I sent it, and it will bring about the thing that I desire. God says that. So he says, I got a word for you, and I'm going to sanctify you by the word of truth. That's what Jesus prayed for. Remember that in John 17? He He said, sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. And so sanctify, that means I'm going to get changed. I'm going to be adjusted from less godly to more godly, from less holy to more holy, from fearful to confident, and from faithless to faithful. God is going to move you up those chains and get you into the things that are in his word that he calls, like, for example, the fruit of the Spirit. I want to just take you here just to help you understand this concept with a passage that I thought about that I said I would share with you for the Bible study. This will be found in the New Testament in Paul's letter. There's a couple of them. Let's go to this one first in Philippians chapter 4. Now, y'all know we did mention this, but I want to take a little minute with it here today. He's talking to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, where he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, he starts this chapter 4 from the KJV. He says, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, that's the first key. You and I need to learn to be anchored in the truth. In other words, don't be tossed to and fro, as he told the church at Ephesus, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He says, be rooted and grounded in the word. In other words, be steadfast, as he says in another passage, and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as in as much as your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Same message, different words. But move on down here in Philippians chapter 4. He says, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. See that? And again, I say rejoice. See? And this man is writing this from a cell, a prison cell. Think about that. He's locked down. Freedom has been taken away. He's chained up in a stinky old prison. But in his own mind, he's free. Because he knows that I trust God. And if God allowed me to be here, this is why you see this phrase many times in the New Testament, that I am the prisoner of Jesus Christ. He understood God detained him so that he would have opportunity to write us stuff like this and give us an objective voice from Almighty God, from his word, so that when we are having troubling times, we can look at the circumstances of this author. That's one thing we can do. Say, okay, if Paul was able to write this, that we call the epistle of joy, from a prison cell, then he's giving us an objective voice. He's not concerned about his circumstances, how bad his surroundings are, the things that are going on in his life. He's aware of them, but he's not been out of shape over it. You know why? Because his trust is in the Lord. He's leaning and depending on God. And I'm writing a letter of encouragement to encourage the church to walk by faith, stay in God's word. Don't let the trivialities of this world trip you up. You can be strong in the Lord if you trust him, and he'll take you through whatever you're dealing with. I promise you that. I've been through some things myself, and I want you to know God has taken me through some terrible stuff. I always have some kind of drama coming in from somewhere. But you know what? You have to learn to get above that drama in your mind, anchor your mind in the truth. And that's why he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he says, I say rejoice, in case you didn't hear me. Let your moderation. Now, the word that's translated moderation here is not used very much in the New Testament. I think this may be a hypox. That's a word that's only used once. It's the word epiakis, and you don't have to remember that. That won't be on the test. But it's translated by the KJV, moderation. Somebody's NASB, I think, says, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men, because the Lord is at hand. In other words, you have a long fuse before you blow. And you know why? Because my trust is in God. This situation is getting me all riled up, frustrated, worried, whatever it is, angry, whatever emotion it might provoke in me, the situation I'm in. I know God is on the throne. So I can let that be seen to other people instead of just blowing up every time something happens or doesn't go my way or I don't get what I think I deserve or somebody does me wrong, somebody slanders my name, talks about me, any of that kind of stuff, trivial earthly stuff that we all go through. We can put it behind our back because we know we're anchored in God. If God be for us, Paul said this to the Romans, who can be against us? If God is for you, who can successfully be against you? And I want you to think about that a little bit here today. And this is from the objective voice of the eternal word of God, the Bible. So this is why God has given us the scriptures in order for us to kind of fortify ourselves in the way we think and the way we behave and the way we allow things to happen. When things happen, the way we allow our emotions to take us down another path. And so this is why it's an important thing. So I want you to start to think about what Paul said here and apply it to yourself. Pray about it. If you can't do it or you don't want to do it, many times it's we don't want to do it. And sometimes it's we just can't do it. We just have so many much emotional buildup that we really cannot do what God has said. Now, those are the things, and that's another type of confession. When I confess to God and say, I read this in your word, Lord, but I'm unwilling in my mind to do it. Sometimes it's not confessing something I did wrong. Sometimes it's confessing something I'm not willing to do that you said. I see it in your word. I know it's true. I believe you, it's right. I want to be like that, but it's not so for me. That's a confession too. See what I mean? That's a positive confession to say, you said this, Lord, but I don't have the wherewithal within my being to do it. I don't have the desire to do it. Tell God all of that. See what I mean? It's going to get you somewhere. And that's where we want to get. Because if we were like Paul, we could say, okay, it doesn't make any difference what circumstances I'm in. It doesn't make any difference. I lost all my possessions. And I've now been locked away and people have just sorted up and spread my stuff out among them and stuff because I'm not there anymore. And so he wasn't worried about any of that. See what I mean? He gave up everything for the sake of taking the gospel to the Gentiles and also preparing the Bible, the objective voice, the eternal objective voice of God to speak through him so it could be here to bless me and you. So let's read some more of this just a minute here. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. God isn't anywhere far from you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what trouble you're in, no matter how fearful you may be, no matter how many financial threats or whatever it may be that's stealing your peace, God is at hand. He's always there. He's right there all the time. So be aware of that. Just be aware of it. Notice this, verse 6, KJV says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now he says prayer, that's calling on God for everything, whatever it is. Supplication, that means asking God to supply something you need or something someone else needs. That will be called intercession. But intercession is supplication for someone else. Somebody else needs something. I had have a good friend, as I mentioned in the prayer in the beginning. He's been working with a brother out in Hawaii that's been under sedation and trying to get him healed for some time, for months. And he's been in and out and on the respirator and off and all of that. But we've been praying. And so today he sent me a very, I don't have time to share it all with you today on the broadcast, but he sent me a very positive report saying that Dennis is now feeling better. He's kind of having to get weaned off all the medication. But we've been praying back and forth on this thing for a long time. And so when you have something like that, a big campaign that's working against you, then you can always pray and find your peace in the Lord. That's why that songwriter said, I can be glad because my hope is in the Lord. See, and he gives me confidence that the world does not know. He's the Lord of all creation. And whatever the situation, I'm glad because my hope is in the Lord. Amen. Trust God through everything. No matter what campaign you're going through, no matter what the flesh may be bringing against you, no matter what enemies may be bringing against you, there may be threats in the news, threats on your job, whatever they are, remember, God says, be anchored in me, trust in me with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, always acknowledge me in all your ways. So that means stuff we don't do that God tells us we should do, that we don't feel like we have the capacity or the desire to do. We want to talk to God about it. Cast it up on him. Let him know, I don't even want to do it. Lord, tell him you got to be bold in your prayer. God already knows you don't want to do it. That's why you're not doing it. But when you start to confess it and say it's in your word, Lord, so I confess it to you, give me the capacity to do what you said in your word. That's what the scripture teaches. So looking at Philippians, this is a great spot right here. Be anxious for nothing. That word there means to rehearse things in your mind again and again. In other words, sometimes that's a problem for people. I talk to a lot of people. They say, oh, I can't get this thing out of my mind. It keeps coming back again, and I keep thinking of it over and over and over and over. Well, you know what? The way to get it out is talk to God about it. God will stop that cycle of stuff keeping coming back, keeping you in a circle of discontentment or worry or concern, whatever it is, God is able to do that for you. And he's willing. That's the good news, even more so. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And notice that with thanksgiving. The thanksgiving is, I'm thanking you, God, already, because you already promised me a blessing. So I'm going to thank you now, even though I don't see it yet. I can say thank you right now, Lord, because I know you're going to do what you promised. You see what I mean? So have that faith, that confidence to trust God at the point of his word, what he has said, which is an external, eternal, objective voice right here. You have it in full. You have the whole thing. There's not going to be any more added. Nothing else is necessary for time and eternity. So let yourself know that this is a complete, full library of everything I need for time and eternity. I got what I need. You got to start thinking that way. Don't act like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Circumstances have fallen out against me. Well, yeah, they have, but God knows about it already. His solution is already prepared. He has paid the price for everything that he has promised you already through his son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So I hope you got a good hallelujah shout going on right there at that point. So let's look at the other one. I wanted you to see this. And notice this. He says, think, change the way you think here. Let's get this one. We got to go here before we leave Philippians. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. That means his word, because it's 100% true. Whatsoever things are honest, that's his word too, and things in life also. And he goes on to say, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Start thinking about the good stuff. Don't let the wicked stuff, the evil stuff, the disappointing stuff, the painful stuff, don't let that pervade the realm of your mind. Let your mind soak in the good things that God has promised you. Soak your mind in the truth. Saturate yourself with thus says the Lord. Take the promises and those things that God has said and rehearse that in your mind before you go to bed so that you can have a clear mind and get a good night's sleep. See what I mean? God's up all night anyway, so you don't need to stay up. You can go to bed and get some rest. But trust God. You got to learn to trust him. If you don't, tell him about it. Talk to him about it. And then he will strengthen your faith and give you the ability to do things that right now you may say, I don't have the wherewithal to do it. But that's why the word is such an important thing. You and I want to stay in the word and trust in the Lord with all of our heart, like the Proverbs writer says. Now I'm going to skip over. I'm going to probably not have time to do all of these. But let's go to James real quick, all the way back, nearly almost back to Revelation. James chapter 1. Now this set of verses revolutionized my ministry. And I tell this to a lot of people because there's a lot of confusion in the world. A whole lot of confusing things go on in the world. And if you're not careful, the confusion is enough to make a lot of people go away and say, oh, it's too much confusion. I'll never understand it. So this is where you have to plug in and take a fact that God has said in his eternal, objective word through the voice of the Bible and take it and own it for yourself. When you do that, it's going to make a miraculous adjustment in the way you think. It's going to make a miraculous adjustment in the way you receive from God's word. It's going to help you get some progress that you've never been able to get before. And that's the way it was when I remember this. When I first got saved, I was very confused by all the different kinds of doctrine and things that people were saying. Different churches, hearing all kinds of programs because I was trying to soak it up because I knew I needed the word of God. But I was confused after I listened to 10 or 12 or 15 or 30 different people. And so I had to go to God in prayer, and this was the section he brought me to straighten me out. Now he goes on to say here, my brethren, starting in James chapter 1 verse 2 after his introduction, count it all joy, or sheer joy, some translations say, when you fall into various trials, some translations say, KJV says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith or the trying of your faith worketh patience. In other words, when you are tested at the point of God's word where it brings you to a challenge, and do I do what God says or do I do it the way the world says? Do I believe this person or that person or do I believe Almighty God? He says, when you see that, count it all joy. In other words, don't be disappointed. Don't be let down. Say, I got a joyful situation. Why? Because God has promised me. Now, we're going to see that here as we go on. Count it all joy, sheer joy. When you come into diverse or various trials, when you come into trials, consider it joy, not pain and suffering, not that it's afflicting me and all that like Paul was doing. James is saying the same thing. He says, he goes on to say that the testing of your faith, he says, because the testing of your faith worketh patience. In other words, when you get tested about the things God is teaching you, it's producing patience in your life. So you're going through trouble, but it's not for no reason. In other words, God has a reason why he's allowing you to go through those trials, through the troubles, through the difficulties. And he goes on to explain what that is. He says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. He wants you to go through the trials and the tests, trusting him all the time, realizing he's there, he's never failed you, never left you alone, and he's doing something to strengthen your faith in order to bring you to a deeper level, a more intense level of faith, so that you can grow spiritually. So it's for a purpose. I can tell you now 100% true that whatever you're going through that's difficult for you right now is for a purpose. You can say, thank you, Lord, for the trouble that you're going through. You can say, thank you, God, because you're going to bring me through it. You're building my faith through the trials and the difficulties that I'm going through. And I'm going to trust you through it all. I'm going to count it as joy rather than count it as disaster. See what I'm saying? So we have to get there by faith. Now, this is what really got me, this one here. And I got to lead you with this one. In James 1 and 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not, and shall be given unto him. That's what I was saying a minute ago. If you don't have the wisdom to handle the weight of the situation that you're in, don't crumble. Don't fall apart. Don't call somebody with bad advice. You know what you do? Tell it to God. If you lack wisdom, let him ask God, the scripture says, who gives liberally. God says, I got a major dose of wisdom. I got everything you need. And if you learn to talk to me about it, I'll help you sort through confusion. I'll help you sort through lies and separate what's true and what's false. I'll give you a spirit of discernment so you can know the truth. Jesus said, and the truth shall make you free if you continue in my word. Remember that? He says, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so we got to get steadfast like that, where we don't fall apart just because trouble is coming or somebody has prognosticated some difficult situation in our life. Me and you want to be those who seek the face of the Lord in times of trouble, who call upon him. Like Isaiah said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. See, God is standing there with grace and mercy for you, no matter what you're dealing with. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are high above the earth, this made me think about the space trip today. So is my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, as the heavens are high above the earth, how high is that? That's infinitely high. God, the heavens are infinitely be higher than the earth. And that God said, that's how my word is. It's objective. It will teach you what you need. It's designed to get you through time and eternity. It's designed to get you through every trial that you're going through. It's designed to produce faith in you if you believe and trust in him and believe in his risen son. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Go ahead and give God your best praise. And we hope that this word here this evening for you has blessed you and given you some strength and some things to think about. And not only that, but some things to pray about. Amen. If we start to pray, and like the word says, trust in the Lord, we always like to quote that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. See that? There's no room in there for anything else. Lean not to your own understanding. We say that all the time. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That means even if it's fickle ways, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. Whatever it is, talk to God about it. Amen. That's the summary today, and we'll talk some more about this over the weekend. So we hope you'll consider joining us at St. Timothy Christian Church. We're located at 11532 Larimore Road in Spanish Lake, Missouri, 63138. If you want to drop us a line, or you can send us an email if you like at teachingbible@gmail.com. Amen. And we can correspond with you by email. And of course, we have a cash tag, Teaching Bible, if you'd like to make a donation by Cash App. Or you can get on our website at teachingbible.org. And we have a PayPal link there on the page. Also, let me mention this on the website. If you happen to be an Amazon shopper, like most of us are, go to teachingbible.org, and there's an Amazon link right at the top of the page. If you click that, it'll take you to Amazon, smile.amazon.com. And anything that you purchase, just regular stuff, whatever you were going to buy, Amazon has made an agreement with the ministry to donate something like 1% of your purchase to the ministry. It doesn't come from you, it comes from Amazon. Amen. So you can help us that way to support the ministry efforts and our prison ministry and outreach to people in the neighborhood and in the world in general. Amen. So we've come to the end of our session, and we hope that you were able to get a good word from the message. And if you have any questions, send them to teachingbible@gmail.com, and we'll do every effort to try to answer your question, either via email or sometimes even online as we do our telecast. Amen. So we thank you for your attention. God bless you and keep you. And we pray that you got a good word from the message today. Amen.